smiles in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Sal Hepatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty. Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen. Music with Peter Van Steeden. New features, new music, new laughs. It's Town Hall tonight. That crowd cheer Fred Allen as he heads his weekly parade at the Old Town Hall. Fred's leading the band with a farewell sign, followed by those ne'er-do-wells of the stage, the mighty Allen Art Players. Let's join that merry throng, folks. Everybody's going. Everybody's going. Here they come. Businessmen.
Don't tell me you've gone into bankruptcy, old boy.
Yes, but it's nothing. I've still got my radio, and it's Town Hall tonight.
Radio quizzes.
Now, madam, what is America's favorite entertainment?
I know, a radio show on Wednesdays, Professor. It's Town Hall tonight.
Texas Ranger.
Ain't you lonely just riding around on that horse, Mr. Ranger?
I got a radio in my pony saddle, lady, and it's Town Hall tonight.
Well, sir, here we are inside the Old Town Hall, and Peter's opening the show with Cry Baby Cry. Beat it, Peter!
Cry, baby, cry. Cry, baby, cry. Just the way I did the day you broke my heart.
Cry, baby, cry. You flew too high.
Tables turned, and now you've learned you're not so smart. You broke every promise, you couldn't be true. You gave me the go-by for somebody new, and I needed you, so cry, baby, cry. My eyes are dry, I'm laughing up my sleeve to see my cry, baby, cry.
Presenting that bombastic banshee, bellowing breezy bottom-notch, blowing buoyant bunkum bagatelle, brandishing bewildering balderdash, Boston's blatant boy blue, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I was crying on your shoulder, Harry. The suit doesn't fit on that side. I thought if I could shrink it up just a little on that left shoulder, it might help.
The suit's all right, Fred. It's me that doesn't fit.
You're getting unlumpy under it, you mean? And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I'm sorry to have to report that this starts our last town hall get-together for the season. And we've only 60 minutes left to finish all unfinished business and put the mighty Allen Art Players back in mothballs for the summer. Say, Harry.
Yes, Fred.
I didn't get any word from Hodge. I think he thinks we finished last week.
Oh.
So, are you ready for the town hall news?
Yes. Oh, the curtain. It's coming right down, Fred.
Things must be super pronto tonight, Harry. The lights go out. Are they out? I can't tell. It's so bright in here. And we bring you the late... I don't know whether that click is your teeth or the lights going out. And we bring you the latest news of the week.
The Town Hall News. Sees nothing. Hopes for the best. New York City, New York. Heat wave that kept the city sizzling for 8 days finally comes to an end as showers bring welcome relief. Town Hall News interviews several New York merchants and out-of-town visitors to learn unusual experiences suffered as a result of this prolonged hot spell. Mr. Boswell Straddle, a mounted policeman, had his trouble.
Where were you on duty, Mr. Straddle?
I was directing traffic at 57th and 5th.
On horseback?
Yeah. I ride out in the morning and brother am I hot.
From the humidity?
No, I'm showing off.
Oh, showing off? In uniform.
Yeah, you know, blowing the whistle, oh, riding side saddle in the traffic. Riding around yelling, hi-yo, Sylvie, hi-yo, Sylvie! Hi-yo!
I know, but yeah. When did you... when did you start to feel the heat?
Oh, the heat.
The heat, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the heat. Oh, the heat was brutal. Yeah, the heat was awful bad.
Lost
just before noon, me lips started perspiring, see? The whistle kept popping out of me mouth.
You couldn't blow it?
No, the traffic was getting snarled. I had it direct with me arm. That started me sweating.
I can imagine in that heat.
The horse looked back and seen something was wrong. That started him sweating.
You were both sweating.
And how? The horse commenced getting slippery. Every time I pull in the reins, I'm slipping off in the horse's tail. When the horse is bending down, I'm slipping over his head.
Oh, there should have been ashes there. And this, and this kept going on all day in the boiling sun?
Till 2 o'clock. The last time I fell off, I started directing traffic in the shade.
Where was the shade?
I stayed under the horse, brother, under the horse.
That was a horse on you.
I ought to give you a ticket, brother.
Yeah? For what?
Parking that gag too near a microphone.
I get it, and thank you, Mr. Boswell Stratton.
A nightclub entertainer who solved the heat problem, Miss Dimples Rank. Miss Rank.
I'm a flat-footed Lucy with a fly.
No doubt, but we'll confine our interview to the heat, Dimples, if you don't mind.
Oh, it sure was hot, mister. If I was corny, I'd have popped.
You are a nightclub entertainer, Dimples?
Yeah, I'm working at the famous closet.
The famous closet on 52nd Street.
Yeah, that's right. It's a jive joint, mister. The stuff is mellow, the cuisine's fair, and I'm the floor show. I'm the flat-footed Susie with the floor.
Excuse me. I didn't hear the request come in, I guess. Now, did the heat wave bother you?
Well, the famous closet only seats 10 people. When the band used to come in, 4 customers had to go out.
Well, didn't that hurt business?
And how? Max, the guy who owns the closet, found out the chef could play the accordion, so he fired the band.
Well, is there room to dance in there?
If you want to truck on down, you stay where you are.
It must have been stuffy there in last week's heat.
Well, what little air there was, the chef was sucking up with his accordion. Yeah, I couldn't take a deep breath singing. It kept slamming the front door. Yeah, Friday night it was 94. Max says, Dimples, if we don't get some air in this cranny, we gotta close. Well, it comes to me like a flash.
The solution?
And how? Put in a trombone player, Max, I says, and we're all set.
Well, how did it work out?
That trombone player is air conditioning the joint, and we're standing him every night.
Fine.
I'm a flat-footed loser.
I know. Will you kindly pick up your arches and thank you, Miss Dimples Randall.
An inventor who coped with the heat wave was one Dombey Quirk. Mr. Quirk.
Thanks, folks.
You are an inventor, Mr. Quirk?
Oh, yeah. I invented the neon zipper.
The neon zipper?
Yeah, so as you can see to close your zipper at night.
Oh, a boon to mankind.
Yeah, I also invented the glove with 2 asbestos fingers for picking up lit cigar butts.
I see. Your inventions run mostly to men's clothes.
Yeah, I invented knee-length spats. So you wouldn't need no legs on your union suits.
That would be a great help, wouldn't
it? I also invented the rubber vest pocket for people who like to steal wet tea bags.
Well, that's all very interesting, but we seem to have strayed. What about this hot weather?
I invented the self-cooling Palm Beach suit. This is it I got on.
Oh, the baggy contrivance. That suit cools itself?
Yeah, it's my own idea.
Well, how does it work?
Well, down back in the pants, there's an electric fan.
Yeah?
It's plugged into a battery sewed into the coat.
That would be that large lump on the side of your coat there.
Yeah. I switch on the fan. The cool air up seeps through my underwear.
Up seeps?
Yeah, and in 2 gusts, I'm as cool as a cucumber.
Cool as a cucumber, to coin a vegetable. Well, could you demonstrate your suit?
Oh, certainly. I just pressed this button, see? It's hanging out like a watch fob.
You had me fooled, I must say.
That starts the fan in the back of my pants. Ah.
Are you cool already?
Ah.
Ah, you've got fans in your pants, I say. You like that joke, huh?
What joke? It's that fan in back. It tickles.
Always a pleasure to meet a good humor man, and thank you, Mr. Dombey Quirk.
The society leader who is unexpectedly humiliated, Mrs. Fortescue Del Crabbe. Mrs. Del Crabbe.
40 years a society leader, and this has to happen.
It's something...
It was too dastardly.
The heat?
The elements will pay for this.
Well, what happened, Mrs. Del Crabbe?
I was having tea on my lawn at Sands Point. It was 102 in the shade.
You were in the shade, of course.
No, I was in the sun. It was cooler.
Well, that's how things are at Sands Point, aren't they? You say you were having tea?
I was about to have tea. I looked up. There was no sugar. I always take 2 lumps.
Yes, I've heard that many times. Well, whatever did you do?
I rang for the butler. Jarvis started across the lawn. The heat was intense. Jarvis swooned.
Dear, dear me.
I rang for the second man. Higgins started across the lawn. Higgins swooned.
My, and still no sugar.
I rang for the footman, the chauffeur, the hall boy.
Poor you.
Crossing that stifling stretch of lawn, they all swooned. And there I sat, the lawn looking like Flanders.
Looking like Flanders and still no sugar. What did you finally do?
I took my tea plain. It was bilge.
Oolong?
Oh, must you be going? Oolong.
And thank you, Mrs. Fortescue Del Crabbe.
The hottest store in the city was found in downtown New York. A delicatessen run by Sapiro and Sapiro. The Messrs. Sapiro and Sapiro.
Thank you.
How hot was it downtown, boys?
Outside the delicatessen, that's chiseling.
Chiseling? That bad, huh?
Bad? You are stepping on the sidewalk. The city is giving you a hot foot.
Was it hot in your delicatessen?
Inside the store, it's a Turkish bath, but overdoing it.
Well, did you note the degrees?
Degrees? Degrees is running from everything. Especially the butter.
Well, you don't know the exact temperature.
All we know is, it's chiseling.
How could you tell?
When the tongue in the icebox is going...
Well, the heat wave accomplished one thing. It sent the stock market up to keep the thermometer company. Sweltering millions wondered why a bit of wind could not be found any place around town. Town Hall News shows the event that cut off America's wind supply abruptly last week.
Gentlemen, Congress is adjourned.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Mary Mac sing for you, Rings on Her Fingers.
For she's got rings on her fingers, bells on her toes, elephants to ride upon, my little Irish rose. So come to your neighbor on St. Patrick's Day. Be Mistress Mumbo Jumbo Jitchaboo Jay. Oh, shay.
Mistress Mumbo Jumbo Jitchaboo Jay. Oh, shay.
For she's got rings on her fingers. And she's got a lot of little bells on her tiny toes. Elephants to ride upon, my little Irish rose. So you had better come to see your nabob on the very next St. Patrick's Day. For she's got rings on her fingers and bells on her toes, elephants to ride upon, my little Irish rose. Ra-da-da-da-da-da-da, come to your neighbor on St. Patrick's Day. Be Mistress Mumbo Jumbo Jitchaboo,
Mistress Mumbo Jumbo Jitchaboo Jay.
Gentlemen, from coast to coast.
Hey, Fred, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we have a guest of honor tonight, Miss Elvira Lane.
Why doesn't somebody tell me these things, Harry? But beforehand.
Fred,
well, please, you know
please,
my
well,
temper.
I know. Miss Lane, will you step over here? This is the microphone. This is Mr. Allen here, and Fred, this is a surprise.
Well, so far, it's a very pleasant one.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. As a stewardess of American Airlines Incorporated, I'm happy to inform you that the officers of our company have named you an admiral of the flagship fleet.
Fine.
Admirals of the fleet hold the same position in the entertainment and newspaper world that American Airlines holds in the world of transportation. So I take great pleasure in presenting you with this certificate. Admiral Allen, I salute you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Miss Lane, and thank you, American Airlines. I certainly appreciate this honor. I'm only sorry you haven't anything to tell Harry Von Zell, Miss Lane, that would please him half as much. You know, he's awfully sensitive.
Well, I think Mr. Von Zell would be pleased to hear that every American Airlines plane carries Salopatica exclusively for exactly the same reason he gives. It helps you feel your best again so quickly.
Well, thanks for telling me that, Miss Lane. And incidentally, that's the very reason so many men and women keep Sal Hepatica in their own medicine cabinet. Because Sal Hepatica is especially made to get after both of the things that usually cause this sluggish, headachy feeling. Accumulated wastes and gastric acidity. Remember, the next time you need a laxative, ladies and gentlemen, take a sparkling glass of Sal Hepatica, the ideal aid to a quick comeback. Get it at any drugstore tomorrow. Applauding the music, Peter. I'm just a lover of Blue Surge. I was applauding your coat. I just talked. Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Fugitives from Benny Goodman have just played Song of India. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I know you didn't expect to meet... Well, whom are we unprepared for tonight, Fred?
Well, if I were Professor Quiz and I asked you a question, Harry, what would you do?
Well, that's silly. I'd answer it, of course.
All right, I'll ask you the question now.
All right.
As a man who is active in this hectic world of radio, what would you say has been the outstanding program signature or program opening brought to radio during the past year?
Oh, well, that's easy, Fred. The tobacco auctioneer.
Right, Harry. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I know you didn't expect to meet one of the tobacco industry's best-known auctioneers, Mr. L.A., or as he is better known in tobacco circles, Speed Riggs. Good evening, Mr. Riggs.
Good evening, Fred.
You don't mind if I call you Speed, do you, Speed?
No, Fred, I wish you would.
You know, you sort of fooled me tonight, Speed, after listening to your delightful tobacco auctioneer chant for so many weeks on the radio. I sort of thought you'd come up here and greet me something like this. Good evening, Fred, and very glad to hear me. Hello?
No, I only talk that way when I'm selling tobacco, Fred.
Well, how long have you been a tobacco auctioneer?
7 years, Fred.
And you've been using your chant all that time?
That's right.
Well, tell me, Speed, why do all tobacco auctioneers use this musical call?
Well, the chant is pleasant through the air, for one thing, and it serves to pep up the buyers and stimulate their bidding.
Well, this tobacco business is sort of a mystery to me. What procedure is followed vending the fragrant leaf?
Well, first, the farmers and the plantation owners bring their tobacco to the warehouse. The buyers assemble there to purchase their tobacco, and I start the auction.
Well, approximately how much tobacco will you sell during the course of a day?
From 250 to 400,000 pounds.
That's a lot of tobacco, isn't it? Well, how do you manage to sell so much, Speed?
Well, they call me Speed, friend.
You must be a verbal Sir Malcolm Campbell in action. But you really don't have to talk that fast, do you?
Yes, I do. The warehouse rules specify that at least one lot of tobacco must be sold every 10 seconds.
Well, can a buyer judge the tobacco in that short time?
Easily, Fred. An experienced tobacco buyer can determine quality by feeling the leaf with his fingers.
Well, do you have to stop while the buyer checks up on the leaves?
No, Fred. I go right ahead with the auction like this.
$61. Gosh, you were a trifle too quick for me there, Speed. I was just getting my bid ready. Now, did that chant represent a complete sale?
Yes, Fred.
And the buyers call out their bids while you were chanting?
No, tobacco buyers never bid out loud. Each buyer uses his own signals.
So that no one knows who is bidding against whom?
Exactly. The auctioneer is familiar with the buyer's signals. When a buyer makes a certain sign or winks at me, I know he has put in his bid.
Well, I imagine it would be rather embarrassing if a fellow winked at a pretty girl during an auction, and instead of a date, he might end up going out with 200 pounds of tobacco.
Men don't make it pretty girls down south, Fred.
Well, I guess I'm slightly frayed and mid-Victorian, Speed. Yeah, I used to keep company with a southern girl years ago, but she caught me ordering Yankee pot roast one day, and that broke our engagement without dessert. But tell me, how many hours a day do you work in a warehouse?
No, about 7.5.
And approximately every 10 seconds you sell 100 or 200 pounds of tobacco.
That's right, Fred.
Now, in 7 years, how much tobacco, roughly, do you think you've sold, Speed?
I'd say my total runs about 50 million pounds, Fred.
50 million pounds of tobacco sold to the tune of your chant.
That's right, Fred.
You always use the same chant?
No, I use several different chants.
But you do have one you use more than the others.
Yes, ordinarily during an auction, I go along like this.
Do you vary it at times?
Well, sometimes when I want to break the monotony, I add a few words like this.
Look here, come along and grab me while you can. Let's go down this road.
Well, now hold it just a minute, Speed. Could you do the first chant in slow motion? You know, I think our listeners will be interested in hearing all of the in-between words that go so quickly when you are functioning at top speed.
I'll be glad to, Fred.
That's well.
Slowed up, the chant sound this way.
At $31, $32, $32, $33, $33, $34, $34, sold
to Malcolm. Well, fast or slow, it sure has a musical quality. Have you any other variations you use working?
Well, if things are lagging and I want to pep up the boys, I may break into a little tune or a nursery rhyme.
Well, how does it sound with a tune or a nursery rhyme?
Like this, Fred.
were swell, Speed. I nearly came in with my obligato there. I just held in. Now, I know you have to hurry over to your K. Kaiser broadcast in a few minutes. And before you go, I want to thank you a lot for this little visit. It's certainly been a pleasure to take a verbal hike with you up Tobacco Road.
And I've enjoyed stopping in for
you. Oh, say, before you go, there's a little favor I'd like to ask of you, Speed. You know, this is my last program for the season, and I have a big, tattered old joke book hanging around I won't have any use for over the summer. And I was wondering...
If I would auction it off for you.
Yes, Speed. Have you got an old dusty chant that might be used at a joke book auction?
How would this be, Fred?
One joke book at $34. So, to Jack Benny.
Oh, God! And can he use it? Can he use it? Well, thanks a lot, Speed. You've certainly saved the evening.
Well, thank you, Fred, and good night.
Good night, and thanks again, Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a town hall quartet bids you a musical farewell with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Listen here. I'll going to tell you all about three Hebrew chillers.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah, chillin'. Going to tell you all about how they was thrown into that fiery furnace.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah, parson.
Now there was three children from the land of Israel,
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
And they took a trip into the land of Babylon,
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon,
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
He took a lot of gold and he made an idol,
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he told everybody when you hear the music of the cornet. And he told everybody when you hear the music of the flute. And he told everybody when you hear the music of the harp.
You must fall down and worship the idol,
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
But the children of Israel would not bow down,
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Couldn't fool them with a golden idol, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
In the fiery furnace, heaped on the coals in a red hot brimstone, 7 times hotter, hotter than it ought to be,
7 times hotter, hotter than it ought to be.
Burned up the soldiers the king had put there,
burned up the soldiers the king had put there.
But the Lord sent an angel with snowy white wings
down in the middle of the furnace,
a-talking to the children about the power of the gospel,
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
But it couldn't even burn a hair on the head of the
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, laughing and a-talking while the fire was a-jumping around. Meshach, Abednego.
You know, Nebuchadnezzar called, turn them loose, boys, I done see the power of the Lord.
And they had a big gun in the house of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Gentlemen, the town hall plunges into a maelstrom of verbosity and comes up with the word soliloquy, derived from the Latin solus, alone, and loci, to speak. In other words, to talk to oneself. Now, just to give you a rough idea of how it works, we present Miss Milner as she looks in the mirror and delivers a few well-chosen words to that same Miss Milner.
Well, I know what they say about people who talk to themselves. But I must say, young lady, that's a very becoming way you're wearing your hair. And I like your new dress. snuffy, nice shades. Brings out the color of your eyes. But something's wrong. Is it possible that your smile spoils the whole picture?
Yes, that is quite possible. That's why we so earnestly suggest that for your smile's sake, you use iPana toothpaste and use it regularly. Because iPana is especially designed, ladies and gentlemen, not only to clean and brighten your teeth, but when used with massage, to help give your gums the toning and stimulation they do not get from the creamy, well-cooked foods we eat. And when gums are soft and tender, teeth seldom have the sparkle necessary for a really attractive smile. So why not do as so many people already do, and as so many dentists advise?
Every time you brush your teeth with iPana toothpaste, put a little extra iPana on your fingertip or on one of our new DD Double Duty toothbrushes and massage it on your gums.
That is the modern, easy way to bring new firmness to your gums and brighter luster to your teeth, and naturally, more charm to your smile. So start tomorrow to make your smile one you can be proud of. Ask your druggist for iPana toothpaste. Ladies and gentlemen, Town Hall tonight will continue immediately after a brief pause for your station identification.
Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours have just played a few bars they had left over from an old request of some months ago. And now quiet, please. Remember, he who shouts and runs away will live to open his own echo in years to come if he's careful and watches his decibels.
Hello?
Well, sir, you know, I'm inventing a thing for radio actors. It's suspenders with an applause card on them. When you bend over, the card comes... Well, sir, they laughed when I said I was going to bite the hand that was feeding me. They didn't know the waiter had his thumb in my gravy. If it isn't Portland.
Yes, I came over to say goodbye.
Oh, fine. Well, goodbye. Or if you're taking French leave, au revoir.
Oh, I'm not going. You are.
Well, I'm going. How do you know?
Well, all of the comedians are disappearing.
Yeah, what comedians?
Jack Benny left the air last Sunday.
And he left it in a pretty bad condition, too.
I heard him call you a heel on his program.
A heel? Why, that broken-down movie star. I saw Benny's last picture. It looked like a passport with singing and dancing, if you ask me.
Oh, it's wonderful what Jack's doing in his new picture.
Oh, yes? What's wonderful?
Why, Jack's hanging by his heels and making love to Joan Bennett.
Hanging by... Do you know why he is playing all of his scenes upside down?
No, why?
The director found out Mr. Benny's feet photographed better than his head. And I will bet you, Miss Portland Hopper, he has more hair on his feet than he has on his head.
Say, what's all this talk about Jack Benny?
Oh, Mr. Allen's mad at Jack again, Harry.
Calling me a heel, hey? Why, that phony was around here all last winter saying they were begging him to play Rhett Butler.
Yeah, didn't Gable just get that part?
Of course Gable got the part. I knew Benny wouldn't get it. He was hanging around the South Ferry for 2 months trying to pick up a Southern dialect.
Hi, my little chickadees.
Hello, Peter.
He's here with that hair comb again. Hey, where do you get your hair cut? In a pet shop or something? My little... Looks as though you comb it with an egg beater. What is that calling us chickadees? You know, chickadees is the property of a very good friend of mine, W.C. Fields. 2 months you're a comedian happy and filching already.
Can I help it if I think in the same vein as Fields?
Listen, Bill Fields' nose is brighter than you are all over, Harry.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, stop it, fellas.
Yeah, Forty's right. Now, look, Fred, this is our last show together, and we all ought to part friends. You know?
Well, all right, all right. Say, now, who is, nobody ever tells me anything. Who's taking over the old town hall for the summer?
You'll find out. Mr. Fred Potts.
Yes, ma'am.
Say, I didn't know he was way out there. He thinks the place is bigger than it is. Well, hello, Norman. How?
Well, hello, Fred.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Well, we didn't need an author to get that in, did we?
You know Mr. Frescott, Mr. Allen.
Now, look, no, Norman Frescott. Look, Portland, before you said your first tally-ho, I played in vaudeville with Norman. I saw him later in Vanities. I met him in London playing in Charlotte's Review. And you say, have you met Harry and Pete, Norman?
Hello, Harry. Hello, Pete. How are you?
It's a real pleasure, Norman.
Here too, Mr. Frescott.
Say, what sort of a show are you putting on for the folks during the summer, Norman?
Well, Fred, we're calling it the Big Game Hunt. Contestants chosen from our studio audience will match wits.
Uh-huh.
Cash prizes will be awarded. Jane Martin will be my charming co-worker. And each week, we're having a guest star who will have to answer any question our contestants care to ask him.
Hey, that's swell.
That sounds like a lot of fun, Norman.
Sure. What sort of games do you play, Mr. Frescott?
Oh, all sorts, Portland. Quizzes, tongue twisters, word games. About everything you can think of in puzzledom.
Puzzledom, that's me. If there ever was a
puzzledom. I'll say. Why don't you try us with the game, Mr. Frescott?
All right. I have a little game, Portland, called the One I Marry.
Well, how do you play it?
Well, each player is given a letter, Harry. You have to name three things, starting with that letter, the one you marry must have.
If my letter is D...
Well, you might say dough, diplomacy, and perhaps a dodge.
Hey, why not let's try that one, Norman?
All right, Fred. Your letter Z.
Oh, right away. I'm in it. Right. Now, let me see. The one I marry must have Z. Let me Z. Oh, zebras.
Good.
Zest.
Good.
And Zulu.
Right.
Gosh, I'd hate to go to your wedding.
Quiet, quiet. Norman is showing us a game here.
All right, Peter. The one I marry must have, and your letter is B.
The one I marry... Wait a minute. I can't play that.
Why not?
I just remembered. I married.
You just remembered your marriage. Well, it's only a game.
Oh, yeah? You're not catching me. It's bigamy.
No, it isn't. They're bigamy. Oh, bigamy.
All right. All right. It's your turn, Harry.
Yeah. What's my letter, Norman?
Well, try W.
W. Well, okay. See, the one I marry must have, Wim, Wigger, and Wow.
Well, that's very, very good, Harry.
I had the thought of that idea. Very good.
I think it's splendid.
I'm ready, Mr. Frescott.
Fine, Portland. Your letter is C.
The one I marry must have clams, chowder, and ketchup.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Ketchup is with a K. You can have chili.
Oh, I only like ketchup and clam chowder.
Oh, stubborn. Just
well, I admire your speed, Portland, but your taste is something else.
Say, this ought to be a lot of fun for an audience, Fred.
Well, unless my astigmatism is growing heads, we have an audience here in the studio tonight. Now, let's go down and find out, Harry.
I have an idea. Do you mind, Norman?
No, I'll be glad to try again, Harry.
Okay, we'll all go down. Come on, Pete.
All right.
Not me. I'm married.
Well, your wife can't sue an entire studio audience, can she?
You don't know my wife.
All right, all right. Maybe she can. Come on, Norman, Portland, and Harry.
All right, Fred. Come right down here, if you will.
Lead the way. Now, don't walk in a single line.
Now, watch that, Portland, if you will.
$0.55.
Are you ready, Portland? You ready, Fred? You ready, Harry?
I'm all ready.
All right, now we're down in the audience. May I ask your name?
Quinn.
Miss Quinn?
Yes.
And where are you from, Miss Quinn?
New York City.
Really, Miss Quinn? I'd like to have you meet Portland.
How do you do?
Miss Quinn?
And
Mr. Allen?
How do you do?
And Harry Von Zell?
How do you do?
And you're from New York City, eh?
Yes.
Have you ever tried a game called Tongue Twisters?
No, I never have.
Would you like to try one?
I'd love to.
Well,
it's
you would.
Right. It's all right, Miss Quinn. We're really here as chaperones to Mr. Preston, so you don't have to worry about it.
Well, thank you, Fred. And the object, of course, is that you repeat... the particular sentence that I name or give to you, repeat it three times as rapidly as possible. Would you try that?
Well, yes, I'll try it.
Thank you. All right, the blue bank book blew back a block.
The blue bank book blew back a block. I'll try it again.
Yes, I wish you would.
The blue bank, blue, black, or blue.
Portland, would you repeat it for Miss Quinn? Just repeat.
The blue
bank. Blue bank book, blue, black, a block.
That's good. All right, now would you repeat it three times, Miss Quinn?
And the blue bank, blue back, a block, blue
bank. Well, I think that's splendid. Thank you very kindly, and do come to another broadcast.
Yeah, now that we might. Really very nice. You we could go around. Yes. If I had a friend in the audience here, yeah. Who is this man with the glasses? Oh, Mr. Russo, an executive. I couldn't tell with the clean collar on.
Fred, here's a gentleman over here who might like to try. Would you care, sir?
Definitely.
Thank you. May I have your name?
Joe Bolton McGregor.
Joe
Bolton McGregor.
We may not even need the tongue twister.
Well, I won't ask him to repeat that three times. However, Mr. McGregor, you know the object is to repeat the sentence rapidly, as rapidly
Wait
as possible.
Wait a minute. Did Mr. McGregor meet Portland and Harry?
Oh, I'm awfully
well,
sorry.
He's a stranger among us. You can't just go talking to a perfect stranger.
That's right, Harry. Portland.
Hello, Mr. McGregor.
How are you?
Would you speak up, Mr. McGregor?
Yeah, I can speak. It don't cost nothing.
Mr. Allen, Mr. McGregor.
Very glad. I don't want to hog your line. I'm very glad to know you.
And Mr. Bonzell, Mr. McGregor.
How do you do, Mr. McGregor?
All right, now I'll give you a sentence, if you will. Repeat it three times rapidly. Cecil cut thistles with a thick sickle.
Cecil cut thistles with a thick thistle. Cecil cut thistles with a thick thistle. Cecil cut thistles with a thick thistle.
Can I try a tongue twister, Mr. Prescott?
Why, yes, Portland. Thank you very kindly, Mr. McGregor. Portland, you'd like to try a tongue twister?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Just
you want
any
me
to sentence will turn out to be a tongue twister with Portland. Just give her any sentence at all.
All right, here it is. Happy huntsman horns hiding hounds howl.
Uh-huh. Happy huntsman horns tally howl.
Correct.
Now for their farewell song, ladies and gentlemen. The Merry Macs concentrate on bidding the women folk adieu. Their song, Good Night, Ladies. If you'll permit me, I would like to suggest...
I don't know. Every year it's like this.
Now, wait just a minute. If there's anything I can do for you, sir, while you're leaning on my microphone...
Not a thing. It's my problem.
Well, you seem harassed.
What?
Distressed. Perturbed. Nonplussed. Disgruntled.
Huh? Oh, yeah, you said it. The mountains, the seashore, a trip in the car, I don't know.
Why, it sounds confusing even to me.
Well, look, every year the wife says, well, we go for the 4th of July weekend. Then she names a lot of places. What difference does it make to me? Wherever we go, it means strange food, irregular hours, and an upset stomach. What choice have I got?
If you want to get the most enjoyment out of any weekend trip, here's my choice.
A bottle of Sal Hepatica, because Sal Hepatica always helps you feel your best. You see, when you go away, ladies and gentlemen, the food and drinking water is different. You're apt to eat irregularly or to get too much exercise, and things like that very often upset your system and spoil your whole weekend. Because two things are usually present under those conditions. Accumulated wastes and gastric acidity. And as millions know, a sparkling glass of Sal Hepatica is ideal to take them for this reason.
As a laxative, Sal Hepatica brings you quick relief. As an antacid, Sal Hepatica counteracts gastric acidity. And because of this double help, Sal Hepatica gives you a quick comeback.
So get a bottle of Sal Hepatica at your drugstore tomorrow. Take it anytime you feel sluggish and under par, and you'll be delighted at how quickly you'll snap back to your normal, buoyant self again, thanks to the double help of Sal Hepatica.
Keeps ringing in false alarms.
Then my head rules instead, and I'm wise to the scheme of that gleam in your eyes. So I kiss and run, but the moment fear upon. Oh, you fool, that was so, says my heart.
The Town Hall Quartet have just tinkered with Says My Heart. And now we bring you, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you those actors who recently made their first television appearance and gave off a dull, wet glow from coast to coast. The Mighty Allen Art Players. Tonight they bring you another Hillbilly Court episode called Mountain Malfeasance. Or he didn't know he could be a judge until one day he tried. Over to you, Peter.
Rise, Rubes. His Honor, Judge Allen.
Hi, Rubes.
Hi, Rubes. Order in the court.
I'm guilty, Judge.
Order in the court.
I'm guilty, Judge.
Now, hold on. Hold on there. Who's that pleading ruckus and ad libitum?
It's me, Judge. I'm guilty.
How do I know you're guilty? I ain't tried you, have I?
But I say I'm guilty, Judge.
And as judge of this here court, I say there's reasonable doubt. Now, what is it you're supposed to be guilty of?
Breach of promise? 21 women is suing me.
21?
Yep. And I'm a pleading guilty, Judge.
Bloody, you ain't pleading. You're bragging.
Well, what are you advising me to do, Judge?
I'm advising you to sell your bicycle and get out of court.
Well, foul hell my growl.
Foul hell your growl outside. Order in the court. First case on the docket.
Professor Gaines, fake mind reading.
Guilty or not guilty, Prof?
Not by all means guilty.
Not by what? What's your racket, Prof?
Professor Gaines specializes in craniology, dabbles in clairvoyance, and has been known to take a flyer in the hyperphysical.
What you doing here on the ground?
I am falsely charged with being a spurious mind reader.
Where'd you pick the professor up, Sheriff?
Well, sir, he was pulling people into doorways on Main Street, Gage.
Jostling, trespassing, and mind reading, hey? Where's your office, Faker?
I am just passing through town, Your Honor.
What's that got to do with pulling people into doorways?
I was giving a few readings on my way to the bus terminal.
Call yourself a mind reader, hey?
I am known as Professor Lucius Gaze, the man with the X-ray eye.
Your left eye looks a mite bloodshot to me.
It's the infrared.
From the X-ray,
I see. I can read any mind.
Well, there's only one way to tell. The court will put you to the task. You read my mind?
Instantly. Look me in the eye.
All right.
Now, let me see.
Well, come on. What's holding you up? Read my mind.
I have to locate a mind before I can read it.
Yeah, but I'm pretty tricky up there, ain't I? That's one for the book, all right. I'll put it down now.
Concentrate, please.
Okie beebe dokie. Now, Professor, my mind is on your case now. What am I thinking?
You are going to fine me $2.
Well, I'll be...
You are fining me $2, aren't you?
Correct. $2 and cost, Professor.
Very well. Here's the $2. The costs will be $2.50.
What?
Professor Gaze just gave you a reading. My charge is $2.50. You owe me 50 cents.
Now, see here. Not too fast, shopper. I'll match you for it.
It's silly. You're going to cry heads.
Well, I'll be here.
Give me the 50 cents.
Well, dead rat, my taunter, oh, here you be.
Thank you. And so are you.
What's that?
You're thinking I'm a dirty, low-living...
And that's so... right. I'm thinking that. You didn't go quite far enough. Next case, with a chill. Versus Dutton's filling station. With a chill here in car.
Showing through my weeds and ready to carry on, Judge.
Showing through your weeds.
Yes.
You're suing Merle Dutton, I see here, of Dutton's filling station.
That fiend in greasy form ruined my cow, Judge.
Well, how can a filling station contaminate a lactic-given bovine?
Well, Merle's mighty messy round his pumps, Judge.
Messy round the pumps.
Yes, sir. He's got four hoses a-puddling into the ground day and night.
What's them no-knock puddles got to do with your lactic quadruped?
Well, you see, when my cows are coming home from pasture, she's keen for a dash of water.
Yeah.
Passing Dutton's filling station, she sees them puddles.
Yeah, so what?
My cow's been lapping up that high test, Judge.
With what results?
I'm afraid to milk her, Judge. She backfires.
Under oath, allegations can be verified with her?
Well, I got my cow outside.
Bring her in. Bring her in, Sheriff.
Okay, Jed.
You know, her milk ain't good for nothing but removing stains, Jed.
The court will decide with her. Bring that cow yonder to the bar of justice, Sheriff.
Okay, come on, Bossy. Whoa.
Sakes alive, she's so full of gasoline, she's got carbon in her cud, Jed.
Carbon in her cud?
Yes.
You can prove she's full of gas with her?
Can I? You just wait till you hear her moo, Jed. Moo, Bossy.
That's all I want to know. Court sentences defendant to drain this cow's crankcase, flood her carburetor, and as soon as it's safe to smoke while she's a-giving milk, restore her to Widow Chill. Next case, Fenton Wells, and the charge, let me see, the charge is January, March. Oh, I got the wrong calendar here. Well, the charge, snarl my bundle fine, it's murder.
Murder!
Order in the court there, order in the court. First witness, Nancy Strum. What's your calling, Nancy?
I'm a waitress at the F&D cafeteria, Judge.
F&D?
The fast and dirty.
You ought to slow down and clean up a mite.
You stick to your trying, I'll stick to my cafeteria.
Well, okey-teepa-dokey. What about this murder?
Well, I opened up the F&D yesterday morning. Uh-huh. I was holing some donuts.
Yeah, good for you.
When in runs this Fenton, what's his name?
Yeah, what'd he say?
He didn't say nothing. He run over to the meat counter and added up 2 dozen pork sausages and a side of ham.
Do tell.
Then he wheeled on the vegetables and tossed off 4 pounds of spinach, 2 quarts of succotash, and an eggplant.
A fiend for solids, hey?
No. Then he put his mouth to the coffee spigot and swallowed down about 4 gallons of Java.
He had a rendezvous with dyspepsia, you think?
All I know is I run out of food. So he starts to pay me.
Yeah?
He took out a purse with a padlock on it. I got suspicious.
Why?
There's only one man in town carries a padlock on his purse, Judge.
Bascom Flint, the tightwad.
Yes. Fenton Welch was working for Bascom Flint.
Uh-huh.
I suspicion foul play.
Uh-huh.
So I called the sheriff. He locked Fenton up.
Nice stooling, Nancy. Sit down. Sheriff Trask.
Yeah, rearing up, hold the law, kid.
Now, order not too loud, Fenton. You're on my good ear here. You run Fenton Welch in, did you?
Well, sir, first I took him to the clink.
Yeah?
Then I gave him a third degree.
Oh, boy.
I says, how'd you come by old Bascom Flint's purse there, Fenton?
Yeah, what'd he say to that?
He says, I'm hungry. Get me some victuals. Well, I sent out for 20 hamburgers. He gulped them down like they was caraway seeds, kid.
Yeah?
Well, sir, soon as he finished the hamburgers, I come at him again. I says, look here, son. I'm the law, Fenton Welch.
Yeah, what'd he say?
Nothing. So I put him in solitary with some bicarbonate.
Well, you ought to heard from him after that.
Well, sir, there weren't no time, you see. Jody Baxter come running in yelling, old man Flint's been murdered.
Jody Baxter,
yes,
hey?
Yes, sir.
Jody Baxter here in court?
Right on deck, Jane.
You're struck an E-flat there with your salutation, Jody. Now, Jody, give it both nostrils. Don't hold back in the court of law. Talking through one nostril economizing, that'll happen. Now, you found the corpus delicious, Jody. You sure it was Bascom Flynn?
I ought to know, James. I've been living next farm to Bascom for 20 years. He was the meanest mortal that ever drew a breath.
Mean, eh?
He was so tight, he painted nests on his fence so as my hens would back up and lay eggs through the knot holes onto his land.
Lordy me. What about the murder?
Well, long about sunup yesterday morning, I went down to the river to look for Jetsam.
Had an appointment, hey?
And just as I come to the river bank, there was old Tightwad Flint laying in the grass, sopping wet and dead.
In that order? What'd you do?
Well, first I give 3 cheers. Then run to get the sherry.
Well, nice work, Jody. Stand down. Fenton Wells?
Roger.
Now, you're charged with murder, Fenton. Jeepers peepers. How'd you get so thin, Fenton?
Working for that old tightwad, Bascom Flint.
Lord, if you was fuzzy, I'd run you through my pipe.
I'm so thin I have to carry around a mosquito.
Carry a mosquito? For what?
To sting me in the stomach, Judge. When it swells up, my belt's got something to catch on.
Well, how come you got so thin, Fenton?
Well, I was a-working for that old Pinchpenny for my room and board, Judge.
Yeah?
And he was always docking me meals.
Penalizing your carbohydrates, eh?
Anything I'd done, I was Dr. Meal.
Dr. Meal.
If I was late, I was Dr. Meal.
Dr. Meal.
If I was early, I was Dr. Meal.
Dr. Meal.
Lord, last month alone, I must have been docked 20 meals.
This meal docking went on all year?
Until Tuesday morning, Judge. Malnutrition come to a head. You don't know how it was. I was so hungry I couldn't sleep. I started counting sheep.
Yeah?
But I kept snapping at them. Wednesday morning, I started seeing them spots before my eyes.
What kind of spots?
Gravy spots, Judge. They was a-dripping.
Mighty messy a stigma. Well, what brought on the murder?
Well, Wednesday morning, I was weeding. I heard Flint yelling for help. He was drowning in the river.
Now, what you did?
Well, I dove in and I saved him. Took me 15 minutes to bring him to. Finally opened one eye and says, "What happened?" I says, "I just saved your life, Mr. Flint."
What'd he say to that?
He says, "Skipping work again, eh? I'm docking you your meals for the rest of the week, and Judge, that was the last straw."
Yeah.
Yeah, I up with my hoe and I parted his skull right square in the middle.
You killed the old nickel nurse, hey?
Killed him, Lord. I annihilated him, Judge. Yeah.
You're guilty,
I'm
all right.
I'm guilty, Judge.
Well, I've got to give you 20, Fenton.
Years, Judge?
No, dollars, Fenton. There's a $20 bounty paid to any man killing a skunk in Cupcake County. Court's adjourned. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, before we go, I do want to thank everyone who has worked so hard to keep the old town hall on its toes all season. Thanks then to Portland and the mighty Allen Art Players for their sterling efforts. I want to thank Harry Von Zell and Peter Van Steeden for their hearty cooperation. Also, my program director, William Shaw, and my 2 co-authors, Arnold Auerbach and Herman Wolf. But my most sincere thanks, ladies and gentlemen, go to you. For without your purchases and use of the famous toothpaste and the famous laxative, all of our Wednesdays together would not have been possible. We all hope that until we meet again in October for another year together, you will continue to remember Ipana for your smile of beauty and Sal Hepatica for your smile of health.
May I say something, Mr. Allen?
Yes, Portland.
Goodbye, everybody, and a pleasant vacation.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Portland. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.